We have today the conclusion of the prophet Hosea. We start Isaiah tomorrow. And it's this God teaching his people how to come back to him. Return. Shuv. In Hebrew, the word for conversion is to return. And conversion is shuvah. So it says here, shuvi Israel, come back. It's a very profound notion, you know, because we can go around talking to God and blah, 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 but never come back. Really turn over our lives to him and stop sinning. Take with you words and return to the Lord. So think about what you're going to tell him. And then say to him, forgive all iniquity and receive what is good, that we may render an offering as offerings of bullocks from our stalls. And then, as you know, the text goes on to say, Assyria won't save us. Our horses won't save us. But we'll stop appealing to these idols we've got. Stock market, TV. You know, we'll stop looking to those things. And we'll turn to you. That's the Lord instructing us on how to repent. Because we need it. And he wants it. And we're too proud and too stupid to do it by ourselves. So he teaches us. This is how you come back to me. This is how you repent. You acknowledge your sins. And as the text goes on to say, you see, I will heal their defection. That's what I want to do. I want to heal you. So this is how you repent. You come to me this way, then I can heal you. You understand? It's not like going to an earthly judge where you're going to get 30 days or whatever you're going to get, you know, and no, here's God himself teaching us how to repent. So, if you're nervous, go to God and say, you know, I don't know how to repent. Help me. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell a joke at the homily, but I'm going to tell you, Phil, I went in to be sworn in as a U.S. citizen. He walks in, and way up on the dais there, there's this man clothed in a big black robe, and he says, Mr. Judge, I'm scared. I'm going to study the Constitution. I'm going to study the Declaration. I'm going to study everything, but I'm scared. The judge says, don't worry, you're going to pass. So you see, God takes our side. This is how you come and repent. This is what you do when you repent. Isn't that mercy? You see? And so the text goes on. Let him who is wise understand these things. That's how it ends. Let him who is prudent know them. Straight are the paths of the Lord. In them the just walk. But the sinners stumble in them. Why stumble? Because we're not straight. To walk on a straight path, they have to walk straight. Great mercy. Then we have this, would take a week, not right now, I promise. But Psalm 51, huh? Haneni Elohim, kachasdecha. Haneni means, well, we get the woman's name, Anna, from that. Chen is graciousness. Be gracious to me, O God, huh? According to your chesed. Chesed, everybody knows now what chesed means, right? You got it. Enthusiastic fidelity to the covenant. So God binds himself to that covenant. Why? Does he have to be bound? No. To calm us down. You come to me, I will forgive you. Just be honest about your conversion. You see? And so then it goes through another line, Lev Tahor, Barali Elohim, a pure heart, create for me, O God. This puts the whole thing, telling us to bring words, just telling us what to say. If he does not give us a pure heart, we won't have one. It's that simple. And we ask him to create it. Now, I think you all know, but I'm going to tell you again. That word bara, it only God can bara in the Bible. The whole Bible starts off, Bereshit bara. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. So a pure heart is a direct work of Almighty God. Only God can create a pure heart, and there's no other way to get one. So the psalm is teaching us to associate with God, be with God, and then create for me a pure heart, Lord. Put a steadfast spirit within me. The doctrine of grace begins in the Old Testament. You heard that, right? And so it goes on then. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit, Ruach Kodesh, take not from me. Now, that's one of those places where the mystic, this psalmist, sees the footprints of God. In other words, they often spoke of the Spirit in a way that he shares God's identity without being able to go any further. Until God became incarnate and died and poured out the Spirit, there's no way we would know he's triune. But already it says here, you see, give me, renew in me a steadfast spirit. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. Those are like the footprints of God. Huh? That we speak in a way about the Word of God, about the wisdom of God. If you watch closely in the Old Testament, they're going beyond their monotheism in a way. But of course they're not. But what they are saying is, in some mysterious way, the Word, the wisdom, the Spirit of God share in God's identity. That's as far as they can go. Until Jesus dies and rises again and pours out the Holy Spirit. And then we understand that God is triune. Okay. So then the last line, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. If you don't do it, I can't do it. To really, you know, I praise you, God, I love you, God, blah, 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 sure. Anybody can do that. But to praise him? Really? That's a work of God in us. And that understanding, while it brought to perfection through the blood of Christ, is already here in the Word of God. That's the way he teaches his people. You want to repent? You come to me and I'll help you. You want to praise me? You come to me, I'll give you my Spirit. We can't do it. When that gets deep in us, a couple things happen. We get humble, a little bit anyway. We get peaceful. We start to really love God because it's God working in us. And we get zealous to tell the whole world who our God is.